BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. For those of you who are continuous listeners of the network, you have just heard a program dealing with the prophetic perspective of what's transpired in the land of Egypt. And we're going to continue on here by taking a look more at an Israeli perspective as to what's going on right now, not only in Egypt, but its impact across the Middle East region as well, and even here in the United States. It's our privilege to have with us David Rubin. He is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, in the region of Samaria that's known to most of the world as the West Bank. He is a founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, dedicated to easing the trauma of children who've been victims of terrorist attacks. David is the author of the groundbreaking book, The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama, which exposes the attempts of the Islamic ideologues to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization. David Rubin resides in Israel with his wife and children on a hilltop that overlooks the site of ancient Shiloh, the hallowed ground where the tabernacle stood some hundreds of years back in the time of Joshua, Hannah, and Samuel the prophet. David, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You're welcome. Good to be with you, Jim.
Let's get right into it. The election of Egypt's new president-elect, Mohamed Morsi. Good news or bad news for Israel?
Very bad news. If Israel has its leaders telling you what they really think, that they're not going to say what they say in public. What the prime minister and other Israeli political leaders on the national level have been saying is that they're respecting the results of the Egyptian elections. They're hoping to work with the new leadership in a positive way. However, the fact is that everyone in Israel knows that the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the political ideology, the political party that was elected in Egypt, is a very, very dangerous force. It is hand in hand with the Hamas terrorist organization, which is basically an outgrowth of the Muslim Brotherhood and is one and the same as the Muslim Brotherhood. So we're talking about the arch enemies of Israel gaining power in Egypt. Nothing more, nothing less.
If you would, David, let's just go back many months. If you would just recall how this election even came about to begin with. I mean, we saw that what was known as the Arab Spring, this uprising taking place. The Muslim Brotherhood, no, we have no intention of running for political office here. We just need to change the way things are here in this government. Just review for us what we've seen transpire that brought us to this point.
Okay, well, you know, I remember speaking to you on your show about, where are we now? It was about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. when the uprisings first started in the Middle East, in Egypt in particular, which is basically where it began, in Tahrir Square in Cairo, the capital of Egypt, there were massive, massive demonstrations against Hosni Mubarak, who was the former dictator of Egypt. He was the president at that time, after all, and he was elected, but it was all a show. Everyone knows that. But Mubarak was overthrown by these demonstrators in the streets, and the military took over in Egypt, and they said that they are going to meet the demands of the protesters for free elections. Now, at that time, it was called by the world media the pro-democracy movement.
That's right.
And then it started to be called the Arab Spring. But I have maintained all along that it is nothing of that sort. And as you know, Jim, the title My most recent book is The Islamic Tsunami. Mm-hmm. And I have said all along that what is happening in the Middle East is nothing short of an Islamic tsunami. It's just one country after another falling to these Islamic extremists. And that is what has happened now in Egypt. Yes, they were free elections, but free elections doesn't mean freedom. Free elections doesn't mean freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. It doesn't mean that in the Islamic world.
President Obama called Mohamed Morsi and congratulated him on his victory. And then he underscored that the United States is going to continue to support Egypt's transition to democracy and stand by the Egyptian people as they fulfill the promise of their revolution. Give me your reaction to this call from President Obama, and do you agree with the President Obama that this is Egypt's transition to democracy?
For the past year, President Obama has been saying that the Egyptian revolution will inspire us. Well, I see nothing inspiring of the Egyptians electing a leadership that believes that a Muslim who changes his religion should be executed. This is what 80% of Egyptians believe. And this comes from the core of that extreme Islamic thought, that ideology that is so dangerous and that wants to undo Judeo-Christian civilization. Do you know what it says in the documents, in the ideology, the official ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood? It says that they call for an overthrow, a struggle, a holy war to destroy and eliminate the Western civilization from within. That's not even talking about the Middle East. That's talking about Europe. That's talking about the United States. It's talking about undoing Judeo-Christian civilization, replacing it with an Islamic caliphate or an Islamic rule over the Middle East. And that has been reiterated in recent times by Mohamed Morsi, who is the new president of Egypt.
Knowing that the Muslim Brotherhood has an extreme hatred of Israel, they want to eradicate Israel off the face of the earth, knowing that Israel is a key ally to the United States, my mind went right away to the prophet Amos, who wrote, "Can two walk together except they be agree?" How do you see the United States and Egypt under Muslim Brotherhood leadership getting along? Can they walk together when here you just quoted the Muslim Brotherhood wants to do away, you know, with Western society as we know it?
Well, they can reach some sort of understandings that in their short-term interests, it's good to work together. Saudi Arabia believes in that also. Saudi Arabians have been very clear in their support of Islamic charter schools in the United States and in their calls for jihad, in their support for Islamic terrorist organizations. The Saudi Arabians have been very clear in their support of the Hamas terrorist organization. So they don't hide it. They don't hide that they believe in this Islamic takeover ideology. But somehow they've managed to work with the United States at certain times for certain mutual interests. And obviously the selling of oil and the buying of oil is one of those interests. But I think they're going to try and do something like that with Egypt. But frankly, I'm not so sure what Egypt has to offer the United States, certainly the Muslim Brotherhood. They receive $2 billion a year from the United States in aid, in economic aid. And it just doesn't make sense. United States aid to foreign countries makes sense if the foreign countries are aligned with American values and are going to be voting with the United States in the UN and in international forums. But it hasn't been that way with any of the Islamic countries, and certainly will not be that way with Egypt under the Muslim Brotherhood.
We're speaking with David Rubin today. He is live in Israel. They're 8 hours later in time than what we are right now, but we're speaking live to him in Israel right now. David, I was reading a story this morning on various Egyptian secular and liberal parties that are sounding dissatisfied with the United States' support of the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate and claim that the United States produced pressure to hand power over to the Muslim Brotherhood. Do you believe that the U.S. intervened in this election?
Well, frankly, I don't. It seems to me that the United States has been very clear about its opinions. I think it's been very clear that the United States, or at least, shall I be more specific, the Obama administration, is not opposed to the Muslim Brotherhood. I think that has come across loud and clear. I don't think the United States interfered in the actual mechanisms of the election, but I do think that the United States has made that clear. I know for a fact President Obama on national television about a year ago said that there are some traces of anti-Americanism within the Muslim Brotherhood that need to be corrected. There aren't any traces. When you call for the overthrow of Judeo-Christian civilization, you are anti-American. We're not talking about some traces of anti-Americanism. President Obama either did not understand, does not understand what the Muslim Brotherhood stands for, or he's being very deceptive. And he's misleading the American public.
Do you believe that this is going to damage the relationship between the United States and Israel?
Well, the relationship between the United States administration and Israel is already damaged. It's already damaged very badly. It's been clear since the beginning of the Obama administration upon election, President Obama made his first phone call to a foreign leader by calling Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority. He made his first two trips overseas to Cairo, Egypt, and Istanbul, Turkey, two rabidly anti-Israel Islamic countries where he called for a new relationship with the Islamic world. And when he did so, he also spoke about his affinity with Islam. He spoke about, yes, I know he says he's a Christian, but he spoke about his affinities with Islam, and he spoke of the call to prayer from the mosques as being the prettiest sound on earth. Well, I know about the call to prayer from the mosques. I hear it across the valley from where I am sitting, speaking to you tonight here in Shiloh. And we hear the call to prayer from the mosques, and very often that call to prayer is not just the call to prayer. Sometimes when they get a little bit excited, we hear them shouting on the loudspeakers, Itbach al Yehud, which means in Arabic, kill the Jews.
Wow.
So this, we know that prettiest sound on earth that President Obama was referring to. We know it all too well. The fact is that President Obama has not been to Israel once since he was elected president.
But he's been to many other nations there.
Many Islamic nations, yes.
Wow. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're speaking today with David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's in Israel as we speak. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how does the Venus flytrap move like it does?
Chris, the Venus flytrap is a marvel of biological engineering. They're arranged in such a way that they're almost like stretched rubber. When it's time to spring the trap to catch the fly, the cells in the Venus flytrap begin to absorb water in different layers. The outer layer gets more water than the inner layer, causing the trap to spring shut. The rapid motion with which the trap springs shut is due to the release of this elastic energy, thereby trapping the fly and providing much-needed nutrition. You see, Chris, God is a wonderful engineer, even a biological engineer. He designed this system and the DNA to make it happen, and he did it all back in Genesis.
If you want to know more about the creation evolution issue, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. Back to Genesis is a production of the Institute for Creation Research. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, certainly the news was breaking over the weekend about the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt now, where we have the new president-elect, Morsi, now, who is soon to take power in Egypt. We're speaking today with David Rubin, live from Israel. He is the author of The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama. And just before we get back to our questions, David, how is it our listeners can obtain a copy of your book, The Islamic Tsunami?
Well, probably the best way for anyone who's on the internet is to just go on to Amazon.com, and just type in Islamic Tsunami, and you can get it right away. For those people who do not go on the internet to order things, they can just dial 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579. Just tell them you want The Islamic Tsunami by David Rubin.
We saw this runoff take place here in the election, and President Obama did call General Shafik, commended him on a well-run campaign, and encouraged him to continue to play a role in Egyptian politics by supporting the democratic process and working to unify the Egyptian people. Let me get your perspective on this, David, because knowing this, the sharp contrast between the candidates, do you see a unification coming forth from the Egyptian people?
Well, Shafik is the candidate of the generals and of the old regime, the Mubarak regime. He was, after all, the prime minister under Hosni Mubarak. So, obviously, as far as Israel is concerned, and as far as the West is concerned, Shafik should be the favored candidate. But he did get close to 50% of the vote in the runoff. But, well, it seems clear that the Muslim Brotherhood is the favorite of the people.
Yeah.
In the elections for parliament, the Muslim Brotherhood got a clear majority, and the Salafists, who are even more extreme Islamists than the Muslim Brotherhood, they got an extra 20%. So we're talking about 75% of the Egyptian parliament in the hands of the Muslim radicals, and maybe, you know, maybe 20 or 30% in the hands of people who are opposed to the Muslim radicals. It would surprise me if they work together in any sort of way that is not official. I think that those who are opposed to the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic radicals are going to find it very hard to work together with them, and the Muslim radicals are going to find it very hard to compromise on their philosophy. I think their ideology is very hardcore. They will know how to compromise in the short term, otherwise the country's economy is just going to collapse completely. But it won't surprise me if the Obama administration continues giving those $2 million a year to Egypt and maybe even increasing it, because somehow they feel that a process has been started, which is a good process. I don't see anything good in this process, and any country that is taken over by Sharia law, those who are not Muslims in the country are in big trouble, and I think the Christians in Egypt, they're going to be fleeing in droves if they can.
You mentioned Sharia. There was a story that was reported online yesterday. It was in the Washington Times, and it was a story about an Egyptian plumber in Alexandria that beat his pregnant wife to death when he learned that she had not voted for the Muslim Brotherhood presidential candidate, Morsi. According to police reports, the initial argument between the couple escalated into violence despite her pleas. She was battered, she was bruised, and reported to have died at the hospital from injuries sustained. Do you believe Sharia is going to be instituted in Egypt under the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, it sure sounds that way. I don't see it happening all at once. I think they're going to be very cautious in the beginning when it comes to the the internal differences of opinion. But sure, I mean that what you just described is just a manifestation of Sharia law and Islamic law. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but this is straight from the Quran. If you look in the Quran, in Surah 4, it says very clearly, and I quote, "Men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has given the one," meaning men, "more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient and guard in their husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. As to those women on whose part you fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first, then refuse to share their beds, and then beat them." Hmm. Beat them. But if they return to obedience, then you could try not to continue beating. I'm paraphrasing here now. That up to that point, if they're not obedient, you can abuse them physically. And this is what Islam calls for. It's from Islam. It's not from any sort of extreme Islam. This is what Islam preaches, that it's okay to beat your wife. So what you heard, that was reported in the news, it was just one example of what we're going to see more and more in the new Egypt, the new pro-democracy Egypt of the so-called Arab Spring.
Have you seen any reaction from Hamas yet relating to this the Egyptian election?
Oh, sure. They're celebrating in the streets here. They're down in Gaza, just a few hours south of where I'm sitting right now. And in some of the Hamas-controlled cities, in this region, in Samaria, which is the northern part of the West Bank, for those who don't know, Hamas is celebrating in the streets. They're having massive celebrations, and as they are wont to do in the course of their celebrations, they get a little bit violent. They shoot some bullets in the air, and people get killed. But that's how they celebrate. That's the Islamic way. But they're thrilled. They're thrilled about this. And I don't know if you've heard about all of the missile attacks coming from Gaza at Israel just in the past 4 or 5 days, and they are directly a result of the Muslim Brotherhood taking power in Egypt. It's a direct result. Oh. They're inspired, they're encouraged, and they feel that time is on their side.
We know that the military rulers in Egypt have been in control. The country is right now without a constitution. The Egyptian parliament has been resolved. Isn't there just a huge vacuum in Egypt right now?
Well, there is a vacuum for sure, but when there is a vacuum, something always comes in to take its place, and the Muslim Brotherhood is going to fill that vacuum. If they don't fill that, if they are not allowed to fill that vacuum, then the alternative is going to be martial law. It's one or the other. I find it very hard to believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to be able to work well together with the sovereign military. The military wants certain things. They want to have certain power. And if they don't have that power, if they're not being given total sovereignty in Egypt and the right to reject any proposal of the Muslim Brotherhood, well, there's going to be conflict between the two. So a lot of the internal issues in Egypt are not going to be simple, and it's going to be a very complicated transition. But the fact is, either way, it's not going to be good.
Well, let me just ask you about another situation, and because while this election has been going on, we have the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, said that there is a great need for what he called a new world order. He said the order would be based on compassion and justice. All humanity would be respected. He pointed out that in the world today that there's a small minority that has the power to make decisions without consideration for the needs of the majority, that there's injustice right now in the current world order because there are countries who have nuclear arms who are not allowing other countries to have those same weapons. What is your reaction as this Egyptian election has been going on? We have Ahmadinejad calling for this new world order.
Well, where I come from, it's important for the good people to have weapons and the bad people not to have weapons. You know, I may have mentioned to you that, I'm originally from the United States, and I grew up in a place called Brooklyn, which, at least when I lived there, was a pretty tough place. And a lot of the bad people had weapons, and therefore there were a lot of muggings and a lot of attacks in the streets and a lot of rapes. And it's important for the bad people not to have weapons and for the good people, yes, to have weapons. So I have no problem with good countries and countries that believe in freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press and and all these freedoms that Americans and Israelis believe in. I have no problem with those countries having nuclear weapons. I do have a problem with a country like Iran, where these wild-eyed ayatollahs who want to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization have nuclear weapons. It's a terribly dangerous thing for the world. I didn't believe that the Nazi Party should have weapons. I do believe that the United States of America should have weapons, and I do believe that the State of Israel should have weapons.
David Rubin is our guest today. I'd like to open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask, we're focusing primarily on the political angle of this, the Israeli angle, the Israeli perspective on the elections that have just transpired in Egypt. Our telephone number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a comment you'd like to make with our guest today, David Rubin. Again, the number is 1-800-733-9829. We welcome your phone calls pertaining to this matter. As you take a broad look over the Middle Eastern nations right now, the Islamic nations, and little tiny Israel in size compared to all of this, what is the mood of the people in Israel at this time pertaining to the announcement over the weekend of the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt?
Well, it's nothing new, frankly. We've been seeing this for a long time. We knew that it was coming, as I described earlier about mm-hmm. the elections for the parliament in Egypt. It's been obvious that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Muslim the other Muslim extremists, who are even more extreme, believe it or not, than the Muslim Brotherhood, that this is what the direction that Egypt is going in. So it's really nothing new. Frankly, I think that we've come to expect this. This is the direction that Egypt has been going in. The Sinai Desert has turned into a total wasteland of anarchy, of terrorism. The terror groups are very active in the Sinai Desert, which is huge and which is south of Israel.
Okay, we're going to quick take a break there and come back to phone calls. David Rubin with us today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just a minute.
There are three major events that changed history forever. They are creation, the fall, and the flood. These, combined with the promise of Christ, are all rooted in the book of Genesis. Yet many in the church are treating these cornerstones of the Christian faith as allegory, which only sows confusion and undermines faith in the accuracy of the Bible itself. In the book, The Big Three, Dr. Henry Morris III reveals how the scriptures negate the concept of theistic evolution, why a living faith and a saving faith exemplify a solid belief in a special creation, and the connection between the creation, the fall of man, and the flood, and how these pivotal events led to Christ, and eventually the cross. The book is a call to return to a confident trust in God's Word. To obtain your copy of The Big Three, send a donation of $13 or more to VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. To donate by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network as we speak today with David Rubin. He is author of The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama is the subtitle of the book. He is live in Israel at this very moment. They're 8 hours ahead of us as far as the time is concerned, and talking to us about recent events transpiring in Egypt and its impact upon Israel. Our number here at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Medford, Oregon. And Marie, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Rubin. In light of the information that we have, that you've given us, and our perspective of this current president, why is there such broad support for this man among Jewish Americans?
Okay, that's a very good question. A question that I'm asked quite often. And I think it would take a whole show to really explain the historical reasons why Jews, why American Jews, I should point out, have shown widespread support for the Democratic Party. And this is something that goes way back, a long way. Obama received close to 80% of the Jewish support in 2008. One thing that I should point out, though, and it's very important to point out, is that there was a survey just last week done by Siena College in New York State, and among Jewish voters in the state of New York, President Obama is down to 51%, which is a historical drop. And I fully expected that at some point we were going to see Obama's Jewish support start to drop, and it's been happening mainly over the past year, as it's become very clear that Obama is anti-Israel. He's trying to put a good face on it in the past few months because he is, after all, running for re-election. But it's become obvious to anyone who is not a dogmatic leftist to see that Obama is anti-Israel. And that should be an important factor for most American Jews. Certainly, American Jews also vote on other issues like the economy, and it's become more and more evident that the economy is going nowhere under Obama, except increasing the deficit drastically. And I believe a lot of American Jews are very concerned about that as well. So the good news is that Obama's support is dropping substantially among American Jews. And I hope that's going to continue. But the short answer to the original question about why American Jews very often go for the Democratic Party is that American Jews tend to be more secular than the rest of the population, and the 20 or 15 or so percent of American Jews that are Orthodox or religious or biblically connected do tend to vote Republican.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Next to Lake Delton. And Carl, you're on the air.
Hey, God bless you, David.
Thank you.
You know, the Israeli attack on Iran, I wonder, is Obama throttling them back till after the elections, or when is this going to occur? Do you have any insight on that? Because it seems like it's way overdue.
Yeah, frankly, I also think that it's way overdue, and I may not be privy to certain information that only two or three people in the whole country have about when Iran is going to be crossing the nuclear threshold, which means the point at which they will have their enrichment up to a certain point and their missiles prepared that they can fire a nuclear bomb on Israel. Once it gets to that point, I could virtually guarantee you that Israel will attack before it actually gets to that point. Even if it's the night before, it's going to happen. That I can virtually guarantee. Should it have been done before? Perhaps. Again, I'm not really privy to that information. One thing I do know for a fact is that in Prime Minister Netanyahu's last visit to Washington, D.C., when he met with Obama in the White House, Obama asked Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, to promise that Israel will not attack Iran in the year 2012, and that if he does make that promise, that Obama will allow the arms manufacturers in the United States to sell Israel the bunker busters that it has been requesting to get to the nuclear weapons program, which is buried under very thick concrete bunkers underground in Iran.
Hmm. Very interesting, with 2012, of course, being the election year. Carl, thanks for the question here. Next to Shirley calling from Elkhorn, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And David Rubin, do you believe that it is in God's plan, according to the Bible, that this president got in over there?
That this president got in over where?
Are you referring
over
to
in Egypt?
Egypt?
Ah, okay. Well, look, I believe that everything is in God's plan. And the question is, what are we supposed to learn from this? We have an expression in Hebrew, hakol letova, which means everything is for good. Now, that doesn't mean that every single thing that happens is good. It means everything happens for a good reason. And so one thing that I can say about the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the Middle East and the spread of the Islamic terrorist organizations and the rise and strengthening of the Islamic terrorist organizations like the Hamas and the Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, it creates clarity for us. We don't have leaders, there are leaders like Mahmoud Abbas and Hosni Mubarak. They may have seemed more positive in terms of positive in terms of the Islamic spectrum, but there sometimes wasn't clarity because they would speak out of two sides of their mouths. With the Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Hezbollah, they say what they think and they act upon their beliefs. Their beliefs are evil, their actions are evil, but at least we know where we stand.
Thank you, Shirley. God's plan, indeed, is not going to be thwarted. He's never taken by surprise, even with the election over the weekend. Let's go to William. You're next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello and shalom, my brother.
Shalom to you.
I had the I was fortunate enough to have fought side by side with the Nahas brigades in Beirut, the land of cedars, which was once a beautiful, beautiful terrorist, travel destination. From the time we left Beirut, it had become nothing but desolation. I mean, they tried to rebuild. There's nothing there. It's going to continue to be run by partially Hamas. I think anyone who has anything to do with this election, if it's done with Islamic government law, nothing but evil can come from it.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts, sir. William, appreciate you sharing that. Jeff in Idaho, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead,
Shalom.
Jeff.
Shalom to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate who you are. What you're saying today, could not appreciate you more. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. And I just want to thank the gentleman who authors this program, for the program, that people shall know and understand and appreciate Christianity and Judaism. Sir, in Israel, bless you. May the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob fill you with himself. And thank you for your program. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your listening here to Crosstalk today. We're speaking with David Rubin. He is live in Israel and catching the Israeli perspective as to what has transpired in Egypt, its implications for the Middle East, its implications upon the land of Israel here at this time, the nation of Israel, and taking your calls, your questions, your comments, 800-733-9829. Debbie, you're our next caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I had in Zechariah 14, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken and the houses rifled. And I really believe that President Obama speaks, you know, he kind of tries out of both ends of his mouth. I don't believe this president is pro-Israel, and it's sad and agrees with me when it says, for I will gather all nations. And I think we're going to have a president that goes against Israel, even though it brings a curse on people's head who does that. And I don't believe anyone should vote for President Obama. No unborn person shall be denied life without due process of law. So when President Obama takes that oath of office and sells out our unborn babies, because they can't cast a vote, he has lied, taking his oath of office, that those unborn babies slaughtered have a right to life, and the U.S. Constitution gives it to them. A convicted murderer spends over 13 years on death row.
Debbie, thank you. I appreciate your call. You're starting to take us in another direction. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I want to keep our focus here on the Egyptian election in particular. Thank you for taking time to share with us your thoughts here today. David, we have seen not too many months back when there was heightened talks about establishing this Palestinian state, and all of a sudden things were kind of cut off when the president said no more talk of this until after the November elections. Do you anticipate that if Mr. Obama is reelected into office, that this forced Palestinian state will become a reality under the Obama administration's watchful eye?
Well, all you have to do is look at President Obama and listen to President Obama's statements that he makes when the microphone is accidentally turned on, unbeknownst to him. He was speaking to the Russian Prime Minister, and he said that if there are certain things I can't do right now, but if I'm reelected, then it's no holds barred. I can do whatever I want. He said it very clearly. I suggest that we believe him, even though he doesn't say it when he's speaking to the teleprompter. I'm very concerned about President Obama being reelected. If he is reelected, his radical agenda will be shown to the fullest.
Yeah, I believe he talked about having a greater flexibility after he's reelected.
Yeah, well, what's greater flexibility mean? That he won't be beholden to the voters anymore. President Obama's agenda and his ideology is radical, far left, mixed with that dangerous Islamic ideology that wants to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization. That's what I believe that Obama really believes, based on his past statements and his past actions.
David.
And I made that very clear in the Islamic tsunami.
David Rubin is our guest. We'll be back in 1 minute and take more of your phone calls. The number 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I am Brandon House. Our website is worldviewweekend.com. Today, we look at number 15 on our list of 20 characteristics of false teachers. Number 15 is, false teachers cause personal and doctrinal division within the church. Romans 16, verse 17 speaks to this. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine, which you learned, and avoid them. So indeed, false teachers cause personal and doctrinal division within the church. Jude 19, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. You know what? It's okay to have divisions when it's us standing on God's word. 1 Corinthians 11, 18, there must be divisions among you to know who is approved of God. Yes, false teachers cause division, and when we stand against false teachers, we sometimes cause division because we're standing on the truth of God's word, and that is okay. It's okay to cause division when you're standing for biblical truth.
David Rubin is saying it's not just an uprising, it's not democracy at work, it's not Arab Spring, no, it's an Islamic tsunami. And that's the title of his book, which mentioned is available at Amazon.com or by calling 1-800-431-1579. Taking your comments today, your questions as it relates to the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of the Egyptian presidency. Our number here at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Gene, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Yes, I knew that for years that this was coming. And I prepared myself for all this when my husband was alive. And that nobody don't seem to wake up. All they do is sleep on this and figure, and then you go blah, blah, blah. But yet nobody's doing nothing. That's the thing of it. If they would do something, we wouldn't be in this mess.
David, do you think the world is asleep to the to what you call the Islamic tsunami?
I think that a big part of the world is asleep, for sure. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are starting to wake up and are starting to educate themselves. But I always say that the first step is to educate yourself about what's going on. You know, it's easy for us to look at others and to look at those who are sleeping, and I just do what I can to try and tell people what's going on, to try and educate them, to get my book out there, and I always tell people, read a copy of the Quran, and if you don't want to do that, read a copy of the Islamic Tsunami, educate yourself, and then speak to others. And hopefully you can affect the way that people vote as well.
Thank you, Gene. To Anthony in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to ask your guest one question. When will the Brotherhood start wreaking havoc with the Saudis and try to down Saudi Arabia? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, right now the Saudi Arabians pretty much hold to a Muslim Brotherhood ideology. They're Sunni Muslims. I have to, you know, very quickly point out that there's a difference between Sunni Muslims and Shiite Muslims. The Shiites, the main powerful Shiite Muslims are in Iran, and the main powerful Sunni Muslims are in countries like Turkey and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. So it's actually in the Saudi Arabian interest for the Muslim Brotherhood to come to power, and you're not going to see that much opposition from the Muslim Brotherhood to the Saudi Arabians or vice versa. You will see the Iranians opposing the Saudi Arabians simply because they're Shiite Muslims, and they would love to see Saudi Arabia overthrown by Shiite Muslims.
Sandra, you're our next caller from Tri-Cities, Washington. Go ahead, Sandra, you're on the air.
Yes, David, I heard you say that you couldn't understand why the U.S. was funding such large amounts to the Muslim Brotherhood. Did you know that our own country's CIA, our Central Intelligence Agency, and Britain's were the ones that created the Muslim Brotherhood? And, of course, they're going to fund their own creation. Because, you see, the globalist elite who are out for their one world order agenda are in great power over our president. He's one of their puppets. And what they want to do is they want to crash and ruin every country and pull down their governments, and they want to set up their own government puppet in there. And then when they get all their puppets in place, they'll tell them to go to war. They'll have their third world war they're planning for, and out of that chaos, they will bring about their one world order. That's their plan.
Your reaction, David?
It's no secret that there is great cooperation, or at least collusion, going on between the far left and the Islamic radicals. The Islamic ideologues, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, want nothing more than the destruction of Judeo-Christian civilization and the destruction of Israel. And they say so very clearly. So does the far left. The far secular left, while it seems like they may have nothing in common with the Islamic ideologues, because they just want communist government or one world government, the far secular left and the Islamic ideologues are actually working together. In fact, many of the leaders of the so-called Arab Spring in Egypt from the Muslim Brotherhood came to visit the Occupy Wall Street movement not so long ago.
Hmm. Let's pick up our next caller from Pensacola, Florida. Devin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would like to ask the gentleman, is Obama, Romney, the Democratic Party, or the Republican Party, the Jewish Messiah, or is Jesus Christ the Jewish Messiah? What's going on in America right now cannot stop what God is going to do in Israel. I heard a lady call a while ago, and she said, and the prophet in Zechariah said, I'm going to bring all the nations against Israel, not Obama or Netanyahu or anyone else. No one can stop what God is doing, what God is going to do in Israel.
And that's why we mentioned, Devin, that God's plan is going to go forward, that it is not something that even the election from this past weekend did not catch God by surprise. His plan will go forward. And so we certainly rest on that God is in control, and he sets up and he takes down as well. Appreciate your call. We're going to squeeze one last comment in here from Hermiston, Oregon. Sue, you're on the air.
Amen, amen. Who says the time of the Gentiles is going on forever? The book I read said that God is coming back with the witnesses to tell the Jewish people who he is. And to this gentleman who is a scholar, read his book. This is the most exciting time in history that there is. But the Obamas do not win. And I want to thank you guys for this program.
Thank you, Sue. David, we have about 30 seconds here if you'd like to wrap it up with a comment of your own here.
Hey, I agree with what those two callers were actually very much on target. What's going on today, God knows everything that's happening. He knows what's going to be, and his plan is going to come to fruition. But we here, from our perspective, obviously, we have free choice, and we have to act on what we think is best and what we think needs to be done, obviously, with the Almighty's guidance.
Amen. David Rubin, thank you for staying up late tonight. I know you're 8 hours advanced from where we are right now, but thank you for being on our program and sharing your perspective on these current events.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. David Rubin has been our guest again. The website for obtaining his book, which is, again, The Islamic Tsunami, you can visit Amazon.com. Also, their website, IslamicTsunami.com. And also, another site they have is ShilohIsraelChildren.org. Thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.